Welcome back to 1 Peter, everyone. Today's with you again as we dive into chapter 1, a chapter about standing the test of time. Remember, Peter will keep us moving between past, present, and future. And the things that connect all of those are the things that last. We saw it already in the intro study. Verse 4 promises an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Mark that word, perish. It describes something that doesn't last. It may seem valuable now, but it deteriorates. Your inheritance can never perish. That's future, but we left off in the present. Verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. That sounds like a pretty accurate description of the present right there. All kinds of trials. But why is life like that? Why is it always a struggle? Verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Trials have purpose. They prove the genuineness of your faith. Not the way a logical argument proves something. The Greek word there is used for the work of a crucible or furnace. Those trials refine your faith like fire. When gold comes out of a mine, it's full of dirt and rocks. But a goldsmith melts down the metal, separates the dirt, and purifies it. Just like that, there's junk in your faith. Only it's really in there. So the trials melt down your faith so the junk rises to the top. Selfishness, bitterness, envy, it all rises up when the fire hits. And God purifies. When it comes to precious metals, purity means value. Same is true for faith. Think about it. What if I told you that little trial you're enduring right now earned you an income? What if it paid in gold? Would that change things? Peter says your faith is worth more than purified gold. Do you value your faith that way? If God put a price tag on refined faith, would you be willing to pay for it? Or would you rather spend your efforts on gold? And notice that word again. Gold perishes. Gold may outlast a thousand generations, but it still perishes. But your faith endures, and it will pay off. And praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So if faith is so valuable, what is it? In verse 8, Peter gives us a topographical definition of faith. This is what it looks like. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So faith is about loving Jesus. Even when you don't see him, it's believing and about a joy that is beyond words, inexpressible. And faith has an end result. That means future. And the result is soul salvation. Remember, your salvation may have begun in the past, but it's not done by a long shot. Now, salvation is amazing, but sometimes we just don't recognize the value of what we have. Have you ever done that? You have something priceless, but you take it for granted, so you treat it worthless. Peter doesn't want you to do that with salvation, so he gives us some perspective. In verse 10, he reminds us of the Old Testament prophets. They were given hints of this amazing grace that God had planned, so they searched intently and with the greatest care to find more details, but it wasn't for them. God saved it for us. Why, Peter says that even angels long to look into these things. That's a staggering thought. Prophets searched for it. Angels were amazed by it. And we have it. Salvation is awesome. So what do we do with it? Verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. First, get your mind alert and sober. Focus. See things as they are. Then set your hope. Hope is meaningless if it's not set on something. If the thing you set it on doesn't last, hope fails. So take your future expectation and set it securely. On what? Read carefully on the grace, the gift you can't earn. to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's your full salvation with all of God's promises fulfilled. Notice that faith and hope work together. Faith is our present act, our decision to believe and trust. Hope is the attitude of expectation that carries that trust into the future. Faith and hope work together in a lifelong process of salvation, and they change the way we live. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So hope should make you holy. Holy means set apart. This is the present part of salvation. We call it sanctification. That means becoming holy. We are exiles in this world, scattered like seeds among non-believers. Don't conform to the way you used to be. You were ignorant then, didn't know better. Now you know. Now you understand that you don't belong here. You belong to God. Verse 17 reminds us that our Father won't play favorites when he judges our work, so live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Notice the word time. The present is temporary. Don't get too comfortable, but your salvation is different. Your redemption lasts. Remember that redeem means set free or bought out of slavery. Look at verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. There's that word again, perishable. When Jesus bought you, he didn't pay with trinkets like silver and gold. Those don't last. To make sure that you know your redemption endures, he paid with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Now that should tell you what your salvation is worth and what you're worth to God. He values you. Do you value your redeemed life the same way he paid for it? You can't earn that gift, but you can honor it. And look what Jesus did for you. Verse 21, through him you believe in God. We take that for granted sometimes, but Jesus is the reason we believe in God. He gave us that gift because of him and because he was raised. That is why, back in verse 21, your faith and hope are in God. Faith and hope are powerful forces in every person, but yours are only as valuable as what you place them in. Jesus set our faith and hope in God. And in response to that, we choose to live holy. Peter says we purify ourselves, and we do that by obeying the truth. And obeying the truth means loving each other sincerely. And now Peter says, take that love deeper. Love from the heart. When God gets rid of all that junk in your heart, there's more room to love. Then in verse 23, for you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. That's a powerful truth. You are reborn. God started over, and that new life in you started with a seed. But that seed isn't something that perishes. It doesn't go bad or wear out. That seed is the word of God. It is living, and it is enduring, past, present, and future. God's word spoke the universe into existence, and his word brought you into a new life that does not perish. And to help us feel how real that is, he brings in Isaiah 40. For all are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Read chapter 1 and I'll meet you back here for chapter 2.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.